From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, November 5th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has awarded Central Maine Power a permit for the controversial transmission line the company wants to build through Maine's western woods. Fred Bever has details.
The 145-mile line would carry hydroelectricity from Canadian dams through western Maine and into the regional power grid to serve a contract with Massachusetts Utilities. The Corps' permit requires mitigation for wetland and other ecological impacts, and it is one of the last approvals the project needs. Project manager Thorne Dickinson says the company is moving ahead now, with contracts worth $17 million already awarded to Maine lumber mills to make protective mats to protect job site ecosystems from construction traffic, and a contract with a Wisconsin-based clearing company.
Northern Clearing was another of the big award, and they're going to be the big first push on the project. They're going to be developing all the access roads to make sure everything is effective and safe. And they're going to be making the first steps towards clearing the corridor.
News of the Army Corps' decision, which CMP released late Wednesday afternoon, caught opponents by surprise. Nick Bennett is staff scientist at the Natural Resources Council of Maine, one of several conservation groups suing the Corps to require a more rigorous environmental impact statement of the project's effects on wetlands and other resources. He condemned the Corps for issuing the permit without first allowing an opportunity for public comment on a draft version.
It's quite a ploy on their part to try to sneak this in when people are paying attention to such important events that are going on in the country right now.
Bennett says CMP and its parent company, Avangrid, should be wary of making big investments before the suit against the Corps and other legal challenges are adjudicated. Other opponents, meanwhile, this week began collecting signatures for a new statewide referendum that would aim to kill the project. The power line still needs approval by the Federal Department of Energy for what's called a presidential permit, as well as approvals from some local municipalities that would host the corridor. Project manager Thorne Dickinson says after more than 2 years of controversy, the company is confident it will clear all remaining hurdles. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And you are listening to Maine Public Radio. For the third day in a row, the Maine CDC is recording a record number of new daily cases of COVID-19, with 183 new cases today. Hospitalizations are also on the rise, with 36 people receiving inpatient care as compared to just 7 2 weeks ago. And Maine's positivity rate has nearly tripled from 2 weeks ago to 1.3%. The number of people who have died, 150, is unchanged from yesterday. First-time claims for unemployment in Maine grew again last week to 1,685. That's an increase of 220 from the week before. Only 469 people applied for federally funded pandemic unemployment assistance this week, down from 728 the week before. Face coverings are now required in all indoor and outdoor public settings in Maine, regardless of how far apart people might be. That's from a new executive order announced by Governor Janet Mills today, as Maine continues to set new daily records for cases of COVID-19. As Patty White reports, many businesses hope the new, broader requirement will eliminate confusion and the need for enforcement.
For some businesses, the order doesn't change their policies or practices.
Rennie's has been requiring masks in our stores since the beginning.
That's Faustine Rennie of the department store chain of the same name. Since July, large businesses have been required to enforce a face covering mandate in the state's most populous cities and coastal counties. A month ago, that enforcement expanded statewide. Rennie says customers have generally been compliant, but she says this new executive order, which requires businesses of all sizes to enforce the mandate, will hopefully eliminate confusion.
We have found that's what is the biggest part for our customers and our staff is that some people can't understand why one person's enforcing the policy and the other one's not. So I think it will help our staff with being able to help our customers understand that this is just what you're supposed to do, regardless of size or type of business. That's what we're hoping for.
The order requires operators of indoor public settings to post signs about the mask mandate and empowers them to deny entry to those who don't comply. The order also gives a more broad definition of public settings and specifically names the types of venues where Maine has seen outbreaks, such as social clubs, ice rinks, and fitness centers. At the Midcoast Athletic Center in Warren, there's currently an outbreak involving 5 kids on a basketball team. Owner Rachel Kaur says those cases actually stem from a school soccer team, and she says she's been following guidelines. She'll comply with the new order and doesn't expect to lose any patrons over it.
Even the people that had said, I would never make my kid play if they have to wear a mask, I think that sort of it's just generally being more accepted now, and people are willing to do whatever it is that they need to do to be able to go out and, you know, continue to play sports.
Houses of worship are also included in the order. There have been several outbreaks among Pentecostal and Baptist churches in Maine, and some have infamously flouted safety protocols. The executive minister of American Baptist Churches of Maine, Al Fletcher, says his members are independent and autonomous, but many have already embraced COVID-19 safety measures, such as wearing masks.
Each church has got to live with its own conscience, and it's got to do its own work. I just think we're living in a day and age where it makes sense to take the precautions that are necessary and to work as cooperatively with our state as we can.
The Mills administration is hoping that people will voluntarily comply with the executive order. If not, the state can take action against a facility's operating license. Violation of an executive order can also translate into a $1,000 fine and a jail sentence of up to 6 months. Patrons who are warned about the face covering requirement but insist on entering an establishment anyway can be charged with trespassing. Greg Dougal of Hospitality Maine says enforcement has been one of the primary challenges for restaurants, where customers are already required to wear masks except when seated at a table. He says that requirement will continue under the new order.
You know, that's the role that we've been put into, and trust me, I've had lots of calls from restaurant owners just, you know, trying to rationalize how they can handle the situation because it's difficult.
Dougal says now that people are required to have a mask on everywhere they go, they'll be less inclined to show up at restaurants and not wear one. The order, which also requires face coverings regardless of distancing in outdoor spaces such as playgrounds, parking lots, and sidewalks, is similar to one issued this week by Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. In a written statement, Governor Mills says the coronavirus is spreading across Maine, and wearing a face covering will save lives. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Over the next couple weeks, the members of the new legislature will elect their House and Senate leaders, and they'll grapple with some major challenges facing the next session. The first task at hand, how to allow public participation in the midst of a pandemic. Mal Leary has our story.
The 186 state representatives and senators that take office next month are poised to choose their respective party leaders over the next week. Those who are likely to continue in a leadership role say they're committed to assuring that members of the public can not only observe but also take part in the legislative process.
We need to make sure that we maintain our form of government at a very transparent level and that we make sure we're accessible to the people that we represent.
Republican House Leader Kathy Dillingham of Oxford, who's seeking re-election to that post, says public access will be a challenge given public health policies that limit the size of indoor gatherings. Senate President Troy Jackson of Allegash, a Democrat, says part of the solution may be taking hearing testimony via the Internet.
First and foremost, make sure the public has every opportunity safely to not only see what's going on with their government, but to interact with their government.
Jackson says it may require a significant investment in broadband capacity to allow for access by the public to committee hearings as well as floor action of the House and Senate. Assistant Democratic House Leader Ryan Fechtow of Biddeford, who's running for Speaker, says lawmakers will also have to set aside political differences in the wake of a contentious legislative session and election.
Now more than ever, we have people who are really hemmed in on being rather partisan. And it's, you know, my hope that Maine can lead the way in repairing the social, you know, the public discourse that we have with our neighbors.
Assistant Senate Republican leader Jeff Timberlake of Turner, who's running for minority leader, says he hopes Fechtow and other Democrats will really talk with their Republican colleagues and seek their opinions on issues of policy.
It can't be a one-way street of when they have the conversation, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. And what do you think? Because they forget to put in that what do you think part.
Senate Democrats caucus this evening to choose their leaders. Other caucuses are scheduled over the next week. The new legislature convenes December 2nd. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And that's today's Maine News. You can find more stories online at mainepublic.org. Have a good night. I'm Nora Flaherty.